It's the Weekend Witness. Give half a call on 1300 652 927 and tell him what you witnessed.
Oh, let's just see more than that. I want you to see more than what I saw or see. I want you to tell us what you see out there in RSN land. Give us a call, 1300 652 927 with what you've seen in the world of sport. Craig in Mount Martha is first up for us today. Good morning to you, Craig.
Top of the morning to you, Daniel.
Welcome, and, as always.
All right, Dingoes. I just want to let your punters out there in a little secret of mine. I've been punting for a lot of years, and what I'm talking about is when you go to the races or when you're having a bit of a punt, and sometimes when you're not, like yesterday, I wasn't going to have a punt. I didn't like the I had a bit of a family thing on, so I thought I'll go around them at Ballarat and so forth. I thought I won't worry too much. So on Peninsula Link and heading down, heading north towards Melbourne. Just got the crossing going on to East Link, and I was going straight, and there was a horse float up ahead of me, and I thought, Matt Laurie Racing, that's probably a sign. And I look for these signs every now.
Yes.
Now, punters don't go chasing them because they won't be there. But when you get a sign like that, you've got to embrace it. So I took the moment when I was at the in-laws, and family was all there and all sort of stuff. So I had a bit of a rumble in the tummy, so I had to go to the toilet and get on the TAB app and also Racing Australia. And, by jingoes, Matt Laurie, one runner at Ballarat. Yeah, that's a bit of a sign, isn't it?
Yes.
So look for these signs. I didn't even watch the races. Got up this morning, had a look at the results. Anna Heater, 590. Thanks very much, Race 5. Thanks, Matt. Callers, look for the sign. That's what I learned from the weekend again.
That's a very good observation. Learn for the sign. I'm concerned about your tummy rumbling, though. Was the satay chicken a little bit off, was it? What's happened there with the tummy rumbling?
No, not at all. It was just an excuse to get into the corner. Matt Laurie had on to it. That was only the only reason. But, look, you can't. It's not really family wise, and you don't score too many points getting on the Racing Australia app while everyone's
probably not
around family and that sort of stuff. So you learn these things. There's another sign for you, Daniel.
You're just a raging river of knowledge is what you are, Craig, and we appreciate that this morning on the Weekend Witness. Just look for the signs. Look for the signs, especially when you see Matty Laurie going to Ballarat all the way from the other side of the bay. That's what you need to be working out, that they're going there for a reason. Well done, Craig. A profitable experience for you on the throne there. Well done. Juppie's in Bendigo. Hello, Juppie.
Morning, Harford. A rather depressing weekend.
What's happened?
Well, Friday night.
Yes.
Being solutions-based, you can drop McGovern, move Harry to centre-half back and give Charlie some space in the forward line. We've got to do something.
Harry to centre-half back?
Yeah, just we need a circuit breaker. Let him run around there and get a kick.
Right, Harrison.
Take the pressure off him a bit. And then Saturday, I went to Wade Street, where I saw basically Golden Square win the game in the first quarter. They beat Gisborne by 50 points. But also, it was a tragic day here in central Victoria, because I was at Wade Street when the news filtered through from Kyneton that a young man, Dallas Keogh Franklin, had sadly passed away in the under-18s game. There was a couple of conflicting reports, one that he had a ruptured spleen, one that he had a head knock. Golden Square play at Castlemaine this week. I'm not sure if that game will go ahead. But there was a young man who took to the field with his mates for the last time, and he didn't realise it was going to be his last time. So, yeah, it was just a shocking day here in central Victoria on Saturday. And then yesterday I got my heart racing a little bit with the end of that Boston Celtics-Miami game, with that final shot where they had to check it to see if it was, in fact, before the buzzer.
Yes.
For them to clinch the game. But, yeah, a bit of a depressing weekend, huh?
No, I can understand that. That story, that young Dallas Keogh Franklin, I did come across that story, read more about it today. It's just heartbreaking, that sort of stuff. We'll let the coroner tell us what happened. We won't go too deep into what may or may not have happened. We'll let the facts deal with that situation. But that's, yeah, absolutely heartbreaking. And for small communities, let alone the family and the friends of Dallas for a young man to not walk off the field and be able to go home is a tragedy, an absolute tragedy. So we do send all our condolences and thoughts to the people affected, the family and friends of Dallas and the footy club and the community there at Castlemaine, because that would be heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. I have lived through one of those moments myself. I know how that feels. There's nothing worse. Nothing worse. Juppy, so thank you for that. And, yeah, absolutely. Condolences to all the family and friends of poor old Dallas. That's rough business. And to all the community there, that's hard. The Prez is with us on line three. Thank you, Juppy. Good morning to you, Prez.
Morning, boys. How are we going?
We are going well, mate. We are going well.
Oh, two quick ones for you. So, you know, we work pretty hard on this program all week, Tuesday to Thursday. All week. We're flat out.
Yep.
And then Friday, we finally get to the end of the week, sit down, pour a glass of red, and guess who we've got to watch on the big box? The Blues. How many more Friday night games do they have? And if they have, the floating fixture needs to come back in immediately.
I don't think... Now, this is one of the conversations last week, Prez, that nobody wanted the Blues on Friday night because of the way they were going, and I think the AFL have listened.
Good.
So I don't think there's too many more Friday nights. I'll get that for you as you continue on.
They were horrid. Now, I was listening to The Apprentice, and he's going on the Good Sports, 10 o'clock Sunday mornings on RSN. he's going very well on that program. He's handling himself like a professional, like not really good. Good,
he's good,
The Apprentice.
Are you sure? He's getting great. He's got a great role model to sort of work off, no doubt. But he's not getting ahead of himself?
Well, he said he was going really well. No one else did. So, now, but he put me on yesterday. It was a windy day, miserable, and he put me on to McGregor Forever, the four-part Netflix series on Conor McGregor yesterday.
Right.
So I watched all four. You couldn't stop watching. I watched all four episodes. I'm not a UFC man, never watched a fight, probably never will watch a fight, but it was compulsive viewing. It was not the fairy tale ending you expect. It's just a man who's a very unique individual, but it's definitely worth the watch. It was, you couldn't. I think I watched all four episodes in about 5 hours or roughly.
Oh, you binged it?
Yeah, I binged. I never binge. The first lady never lets me binge, but I did yesterday. And it's a must watch. A must watch.
Right, McGregor Forever. Right. Well, finally, The Apprentice has come up with something positive, and we will move forward strongly with that. Prez, nice work from you. I can tell you too. Just by the way, our research is not just a suburb. We've had a look and see how many Friday night games the Blues have got left. It's obviously this Friday against Melbourne one of them, and then they play Collingwood on a Friday night. That is in July 28, round 20.
Okay. Well, at least that'll be over by quarter time.
Well, hopefully not. I want to see the Blues rally. I want to see them rally. That's what I want to see.
No good. They are no good.
Well, not at the moment, but I think it's all mental. We can work with that, Prez. Thank you for that. Lots of action coming through off the SMS as well. We'll get to that shortly. But Gav's in Geelong, 1300 652 927 on the weekend witness. Good morning, Gav.
G'day, Harf. How are you, mate?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Good, mate. It's Gav the Greenskeeper here, mate. I never really call. So
you never call. Great to have you, mate.
My weekend witness, mate, me and Senna, my mates, we ended up going down and playing a bit of country footy on the weekend. We got the SOS call from a fella down Portland way. They were struggling to field a Rezzy's team, so we pulled the boots on. The average age is about 40, so we're well past it, us fellas. And these guys haven't won a Rezzy's game in nearly 4 years, so pulled the boots on, playing the top team. We said, we won't bother listen to the song or knowing what the song is because we won't be singing it, that's for damn sure. But we end up getting the chockies, 1 by 2 points.
Now, how did you do that, Kev? This is a great story. We love when teams have a big win after a drought.
You'll love this, Harf. We got up early. We got a couple of goals up on them early, and then we pretty much tried to hold it for three quarters. We, with no time on and stuff, we were kicking the ball that far over the fence. It took 5 minutes to get back. And every time we kick a goal, we boot it that far into the paddock. So it couldn't come back for too long, so... We just parked the bus, mate, pretty much, and
fantastic.
Fell over the line. We were getting hugs and kisses from people we didn't even know. It was fantastic.
So the question is now, Gav, because Cole gave you a pump up with the SMS earlier this morning. The question is, do you go back for more now that you're a club legend? Do you go back for more?
Not for at least another 6 months or so. It's going to take me that long to get over this. I'm that sore. I'm out on a golf course walk with him right now, just trying to limber up a little bit before the day.
Well, that's the end of October, so that's the season will be over by then, Gav.
That's the thing. I think maybe next year. We'll
well done, mate. Congratulations to you and the lads. That's a great story. We like droughts being broken in the local sport. Good on you. Gav, the greenskeeper, doing great things in the reserves. What about booting the ball as far as they could over the boundary line and past the goal?
That is outstanding.
That's great. You know what that is? Experience again.
Yep.
You can't buy it. You can't buy it. Well done, Gav. That is a great story. Dennis is in Oakley. Good morning, Dennis. Where's Dennis? We got Dennis?
Two clubs.
Yes.
First one, Luton Town.
Yes.
In England. They did it. And no one knows how they did it. And they did it with their captain collapsing on the field during the match.
They did, yeah.
It was just an extraordinary story, anyway. Another club is Essendon. Essendon had to make a decision late last year. Do they reach back to James Hurd, or do they look forward with Scott? The decision they made now is bearing fruit. The Essendon people, all you Bomber supporters, you owe the vote of thanks to your board. The club's going to be just fine.
Agreed. I think you're spot on there with the Bombers. They're inside the eight currently now after the win on the weekend. They are going, and they've got a nice little draw too for finishing low last year, Dennis. So they're in a pretty good spot. And Brad Scott, we know, is a great coach. He's been a fabulous coach at the Kangas for what he had to work with for all those years. Did a great job. So he is doing a beautiful job. Building strongly from the base is what he's doing, and that's the way you have to do it. You're right. They could have gone back, but they've looked forward, and they should be applauded for that at this stage anyway. The Essendon board, there's a few other boards out there sort of scratching themselves, working out what the hell did we do wrong last time out. But and one of those, of course, is Carl, looks like Craig Matheson, for those that just joined us. Blues board member will be standing down this week, so the reports are going. We'll get confirmation on that as soon as humanly possible. Thank you. But Luton Town's great. If you haven't looked up Luton Town's home ground, where Manchester City and United and all the big clubs, Liverpool will be travelling to as part of the EPL conversation next season, it's basically the backyard of a local community, wedged in between all these terrace houses. It's quite something. It is quite something to get there, and they won't know what's hit them, these rich listers from Manchester City, when they get there next year. But it's fantastic, and they get £200 million or something just for making it, which is some sort of effort. And they've gone five divisions in 9 years. It's an extraordinary performance, and really does highlight the great thing about the English football pyramid, and when it happens like that, certainly from a positive perspective. Thank you, Dennis. John's on the road. Hello, John.
How you going, fellas? Until we win a final, then I'll be happy. Too early yet.
Yeah, but baby steps. But from where you've been, John, it's pretty good.
Been 20, how many years, mate? 23 years. long time. Look, one thing that hasn't improved in footy, damn goal kicking. It's bad, isn't it? And you really think Carlton's playing that bad? I've watched that game. They only need to kick a couple of goals. Everyone lifts their heads and the confidence is, you know, beaming. The on-ballers are getting frustrated, the backmen. And then Mackay just, I don't know what he's trying to do, kick sideways, drop the ball low, mate, follow through.
Ifs and buts and maybes, Johnny. You can't be working with ifs and buts and maybes. They've got work to do. It's psychological. You talked about confidence there, Johnny. I reckon that's it's a massive part of it. And knowing you can and believing you can. But don't worry about just the goal kicking. The basic skill areas they make in the field. Way too many of those. And it happens across the league at the moment, the level of skill. I know there's fatigue and pressure, I understand that. But boy, there's some bad disposal going on. Thank you, Johnny. Mixie Mildura to finish us off this morning. Good morning, Mick.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yep, when my favourite jockey had three rides on Saturday, pick up the paper Friday, they're all double figures, they all won.
Harry Coffey's one of our favourites. Harry and Ostia, two of our absolute favourites around here from the Swan Hill region. They're magnificent people. And I did see Harry had a good day on Saturday. He's a beauty, Harry. He just needs more opportunities.
But he only had three rides.
What's what I'm saying? He needs more opportunities, doesn't he?
That's right.
He's a ripper. No, you're spot on. Mick, great observation. Harry had a good day on Saturday. Double figure odds, as you say. So Coffee fans would have been rejoicing on Saturday night. Spot on. Spot on, Mick.
Emiliano Grillo leads by two. He has one to play. So two up over the Englishman, Harry Hall. He's through 15, but Grillo just made a very good pass-saving putt, and he leads by two going into the 18th.
Oh, no, nice work from you. Jordan Lewis, not too far away. Have you seen Luton Town's home ground?
I have indeed.
Magnificent.
Outstanding.
Magnificent. Old school England.
They're the stories I love in English football.
Yep. Five divisions in 9 years.
That's yep.
a bloody big effort. Bloody big effort. So that's going to be good fun. Next year in the Premier League, they've gone through where they won the championship playoff on penalties against Coventry yesterday. 6-5.
It's got OB written all over it, Luton Town. OB.
OB. We should do an OB. The Hoss has just texted me. He wants in. He says, I'll guarantee it happens to get to OB Town for Luton Town. But mind you, we had a guarantee that Michael Block would be on the show last week from the producer, the former Socceroo, and that didn't happen. So who knows what you get around these parts. 23 past 7.